My name's Jeremy. I'm an alcoholic. And you guys, I don't know if you know this, you're a good-looking bunch, man. I wasn't really expecting that coming down here. And I don't know why. I didn't think you would be, like, ugly or anything like that, man. I just didn't, you know. And I get that. I recognize some of you guys. My home group is the Fourth Dimension group of Alcoholics Anonymous up there in Newport Richey, and we meet Fridays. It's a speaker meeting just like this, and I know we've had some of you guys come out and speak for us, man, and the ones I recognize, man, you guys crushed it. I start coming here, and I get real self-conscious. I'm not going to do any good as they did, man, and I just feel inadequate. I don't know if any of you guys ever felt that way. And I get that weird, uncomfortable feel. Just like when I showed up there, when I got out of this treatment center and I started going there, man, and it is just I just see you guys talking to each other, and I am convinced that you all were protected by, like, the same placenta or something like that, and you guys all know each other, man, and you don't like me, right, is what, and I just, if you've noted, I've just been kind of awkwardly pacing back and forth, and some buddies of mine came down from Newport Richey, and I'd like to, I don't know, maybe to watch me speak, they might not have had anything better to do. I'm really not sure. And it's good, man. I don't know. I'm excited to be here, you know, talking with you guys. And my sobriety date is Christmas Eve 2018. And I haven't got loaded since then. I was seeing that all day, all I kept thinking is, like, how am I gonna, there isn't, whatever. I kept thinking, like, how am I gonna, like, open this thing? I don't know, man, I got that big, like, this first impression has got to be crucial, right? And this is, what I really want to do is, like, find out how cool you guys are, man, because if we can't connect on some kind of sense of humor thing, this is going to be a really long half hour for everybody. Like, how much that is, like, so ingrained in me, man, how that, like, just that part of my ego and alcoholism, and I will shove other people aside for it, man, and if I can just think that it can get me to, I will, like, not so bad now, man, but I can, like, bomb you as a person if I'm pretty sure that I can get, like, three other people to like me because of it. And it wasn't long ago, man, the job I have, right, is I do air conditioning, right? And July, August, something like that. It's pretty crucial, man, that you try to help people out the best you can. And I went, and this thing was broken on this lady's unit. And I told her, I can't fix it. I have to go. I'll come back tomorrow. And the truth is, I could have fixed it, and I could have went, and I could have got the part, and I could have came back. And the reason I didn't do that is because I was supposed to go to this treatment center thing, which would have been a good enough maybe reason in itself to go do that, but I didn't care about that at all. What I had done is I had just gotten this new truck, and I really wanted all these people at the treatment center to see how cool I looked rolling up in this thing. And I mentioned that to my sponsor, man. He has a nice way of calling me a complete idiot without really saying it. And this dude's from, like, North Carolina. He's like, you wanted what? I was like, yes. And I tried too. I left and I rolled the window down, and nobody cared, man. Nobody cared that I had just gotten this type of. I remember being in that same exact treatment center that I was in, man, and I could care less, man, about what that I need to get out of this place is my really only concern, not whatever. And but that's me. You know what I mean? So I just, and I trying to start at the beginning is you know, it's just, I was just like a nervous little kid, I guess, right? And one of those, you hear it all the time, right? I am just trying to size myself up to you, feel like coming from behind, man, whatever I got going on. And I would find these little things about you guys, about other people, man, that I thought if I could just obtain that, right, I should feel, I don't know this at the time, but I should feel on the inside the way everyone else seems to look on the outside, right? That is what I'm shooting for. I don't know that I'm chasing it, man, but that is 100%. Nobody ever said when I was, like, 8 years old, like, get this kid a drink, man, and maybe he'll level out or something like that. And whatever it was, man, when the book talks about, like, I am, like, the the pretend guy, right? Like the double actor man, that I am the guy who will show up in a sweater vest one day hoping I fit in with you, and then I will show up in like ripped dreams. I will show up in like ripped jeans and like a leftover crack t-shirt, right? To try to fit in with like some kind of like gutter punk kid or something like that. And there's little things, man, I am grasping on. A big one too is the Achilles heel, man. Like that, I was a little chubby kid, right? Has nothing to do, didn't make me an alcoholic, but that thin little strip, man, of ankle people got, bro, that Achilles. Bro, if you had some good looking ankles, man, like, I don't know what it was. I would like constantly walk around, I'd be looking at the back of people's feet, and I'm like, hi. And just like the weirdest, there was this full length mirror in the hallway at my mom's house, and I would just sit there, man, and I would like doing calf raises, just hoping that I just, that's all I need, man. I need some ankles about as wide as a strip of juicy fruit. And I'm in there, baby. You know, that's all I'm looking for. And maybe, I don't know, you know, and that's weird, man. I don't know. I go through it too, right? It feels like it, unnecessarily, man, like people are putting pressure on me. And I don't know where that's coming from. I don't know why. I don't know why I feel something that I always got to live up to. Nobody told me that, right? I kind of just come up with that deal on my own. And somewhere along the line, man, I get loaded. You know what I mean? I drink for the first time, right? And I don't know what I'm expecting it to do. I push it off for a while, man. My mother was like a very, like, I don't know if any of you guys seen, like, Reefer Madness kind of thing. Like, she was very much like that, man. And I have, like, some uncles who are just like me, man. And I'm carrying all that just, like, feeling of inadequacy. And I don't fit in with you guys and blah, blah, blah. And I'm bringing that. Doesn't make me an alcoholic, right? But that is, like, everything I am carrying into this deal with me. And I don't know what happens, man. The same thing you hear from other people, right? I think it's important, man, if you are an alcoholic. Somewhere along the line of my drinking, what I figure out is alcohol makes me feel better. That's it, man, right? I drink, I feel better. I would spend in and out of therapist and psychologist and whatever, man, all these kind of things, right? That I look like I'm just, if you look at me from the eye, I look like this little kid that's kind of just riddled with anxiety and depression and stuff like that, man, like really weird phobias. I had a real bad one of like just throwing up out of nowhere, right? I would eat like, I always thought I had food poisoning, man. I was just so convinced of it. And I'd eat a McDonald's cheeseburger at like 8 at night, and I would just the next day until 8, because somebody once told me it takes 24 hours. If you're not sick by then, you're good. And I'd sit there and I'd watch the clock till 8 with just this knot in my stomach, man, waiting for it. And then I was fine after that. And I just got stuff like that going on in my head, man. And I'm only like, whatever, man, like medications and stuff like that, that they're trying to, and I figure it out on my own, right? I drink, man, and I feel better, right? I don't know if it's that, I don't think there's a big difference, man, between I feel like I fit in with everybody, or I just don't care that I don't anymore, right? One way or the other, man, that's what happens. I feel okay, right? That feeling of, I drink, bro, and I got, like, top-notch ankles, kid. Like, there, I am just, I'm good. And so I do that for a while, and a lot of other things come into play, man. And I don't know if any of you guys, I was sitting in the treatment center, man, and they were bringing, or the dozen times or so I've been in and out of detox, AA would come in, man, and the last thing I am is an alcoholic. Right, I can admit that I am a lot of other things, man. I am not an alcoholic, and a lot of things get pointed out to me, man, that usually every time I end up in this detox I never plan to be in, what it starts with, man, is like a couple Bud Lights is what happens to me, right? And I got something else going on, man, where I am just something else. I had absolutely I don't know a lot of people that like start drinking a couple beers and by the end of the night they like steal their mom's debit card, right? And that's what seems to happen to me when I get loaded. So if you guys are on the fence about the alcoholic thing, man, I get it. This stuff 100% removed that obsession, man, to drink, and it did absolute wonders on my heroin and crack problem too. So just keep that in mind, man. It kind of does a lot of stuff, and like a small crack problem though, like as small as one as you could possibly get. It's not even really that big of a deal if I'm looking back at it. And it's one of those, man, everything else just kind of drops off, right? Like, I don't care about doing all the other stuff, man. School kind of falls to the wayside. I can't remember being, then you guys, man, when you first started getting around here, I forget anything that I liked before I started getting loaded, right? That is the absolute worst question I can possibly get, man, as I come in here and somebody's like, so what are you into? And I was like, I have no idea, man. I like burning my life down, apparently, man. That seems to be just what I do all the time, man. I convince people I'm going to do better. I convince myself I'm going to do better. And then I go to detox again, man, with the idea that I'm going to leave and do better. Or with the kind of see you guys next time deal. And it talks about it, man, just being progressive with me, right? And I don't know, it goes from like fun to just really pathetic is what happens, right? It's just fun getting loaded, man, I get that, right? And there's something along the lines that happens that all the fun of that thing gets wrung out, right? And that is when Bill writes that the great obsession I have is to control and enjoy my drinking, man, that's all I want. I went into treatment, man, that is all I wanted. I didn't care about really staying sober for any long period of time. That wasn't a particularly big interest to me. What I wanted to do was jumpstart this thing again and get it to work and shut it down before it got really bad again. That is all just my complete intention is to do time and time again. I don't see that I'm doing that. It feels normal to me. But that's, I don't know, man, that's what ends up happening to me over and over again. And God, man, what was my life like? I keep forgetting. I don't know, there's that part in it too that says I can't differentiate. I'm the last person to know that I really have a bad issue with this. As far as I know, man, all you other guys really just need to kind of like mind your business, right? And what happens eventually too is people do start minding like their own business, man, and disregarding me, and I wonder why everybody, like nobody wants to talk to me anymore kind of deal. And I just for an example of it, man, I had a good job reading, whatever, man, working for like a decent company. And I stayed up the night before getting loaded. I knew I had to get up early, and my dad had called me, right, at like, whatever, late, like 12, 1 in the morning, something like that, to tell me how disappointed in me he was, right? And I'm like the type of guy where I get upset with you and like I ream you out in my head, right? You were blah, 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 and how dare you say that to me? But what comes out of my mouth is, yeah, I know, man, I'm disappointed in me too. You know what I mean? Life's a pretty big bummer right now. I don't know if you want to send me money. And I'll probably help. And I get up the next day, man, I have to drive like an hour to go wherever I'm going. The company calls me before I get there, sends me back to Holiday. I don't know if you guys are like, I live in Holiday up there in Pasco, and I have to go to like 98 out in Lakeland, right? And spin around and come back. And I'm so tired. You know what I mean? Like I'm like carrying everything from the night before is running in with me that day. And I don't know where the good idea comes, man. It's that they talk about the keen alcoholic mind, man. And alcoholics are above abnormal or above what, normal intelligence or something. I've only ever heard that in AA, man. My mom has never told me that, like, you guys are smarter than you think you are kind of thing. And I get this bright idea, man, that I'm just gonna close my eyes for like 2 seconds, right? And it should, for some reason, I should be like well rested by the time, right? And what happens, man, is that I doze off, and I probably drive the truck from here to like those doors up there. I keep it on the road the whole time, man, and that's intuition you can't teach. And it's at a stoplight, man, and I slam the car in front of me so hard that it totals the car in front of it. They were a catering company, and there's hors d'oeuvres and finger sandwiches and whatever everywhere, man. And I've woken up a lot of rough ways in my life, man, but that was by far the worst one. The people that came to check on me were English. They're like, oh my God, are you okay? And I was like, I swear to God, the last thing I remember was at the very least being in America. And they put me in the ambulance, right? And thank God, first off, those people were fine, man. They probably got like a big settlement from the company I was working for. So if anything, they probably owe me one. And I'm laying in the ambulance, man, and they tell me my collarbone is snapped, right? And the first thing that goes through my head, man, I swear, is that, not that, oh my God, I'm gonna be out of work, how am I gonna pay my bills, whatever, you know what I mean? Like, my collarbone is snapped, that's great. They're gonna give me intravenous pain meds because my collarbone is snapped right now, and they'll probably let me leave with some kind of script. And that was like, anyways, what I'm getting at is that you couldn't have told me, man, there is absolutely no way you could have convinced me that the reason that that happened is because I was up the night before getting loaded the way that I like to get loaded. There's no way, man, right? It's because my dad called and kept me up. That's why, right? It's because that job, man, if they would have just let me go and do what I said I needed to do out there and turn around and come back, it wouldn't have been a big deal. There's no way this ever would have happened, right? That thing, man, where that starts to like settle into a guy like me. And after that, man, it's just a series of in and out of detoxes, man. It's life gets really pathetic. It's me hoping I can stay at my mom's house, man, just sitting in a room by myself, getting loaded over and over again, right? Telling myself I'm gonna quit and not being able to. And there's a part, man, where I think a lot of times, man, at the time, it's all in hindsight, man, but God's grace looks a lot like the worst things to ever happen to me at that point in time. Right? It looks like the worst thing that ever could have happened to me, right? The worst thing that could have happened to me was a few years later, man, that I lose that job. I was like working a really decent job at the time. I had nothing to show for it, man, but it was a good job. I was going to go somewhere, man. That next paycheck I got, that's the one I was going to save up and move out of my mom's house at the ripe old age of 30. I got kids now, man, and I keep thinking, I'm like, oh, it's 16 years, man, they're out of here. And I think, Jesus, I lived with my mom till I was 30, man. I don't know. Karma's coming back on me. This is what's going to happen. Save a seat for them, man. And that I have this decent job, man, and I lose it. And then everything's up, man. It's all out in the open, right? Everybody knows how bad this thing has really gotten for me, right? And what happens is enabling that whole thing, man, that kind of me being able to talk everybody into, man, this way it's going to be different, I'm going to have it this time, is gone. There is no more of that, man. And I banked on, man, this poor woman, man, I know I shaved years off my mother's life, right? Just hanging out there, man, on these empty promises. And I am just banking on the people that love me the most, that I can manipulate you the easiest, right? And that whole, what if you let me leave and you kick me out, I'm probably gonna die, you know? And the truth is, man, I died at her house so many times, man, I probably couldn't tell you. And last time that happened, man, same as what had happened, man, a couple weeks before, I wake up in a hospital again, and I don't know, man, I'm walking out of there with this Bill talks about incomprehensible demoralization, man. I was like, how the hell did this happen again, man? And I'm like looking at the nurses and I got this wide-eyed look, and it just gets real, I don't know, man, right? And I'm still hanging on, man. There's a point too, man, there's something that happens to me too when I kind of, there's some kind of relief in accepting that, like, this is just what I do, right? That conflict, man, that anxiety I always seem to get, even today, man, comes from me hoping I can do something that I can't, or if that makes any kind of sense, right? But once I come to that conclusion, man, that I just get loaded and I do this thing over and over again, and it's just gonna keep happening, man. And there is some kind of relief once I settle into that, right? But then I come back and I see other people have, whatever, man. Other people have trucks and I gotta get one of those and that'll fix me, sort of deal. And what happens, man, is I get put into a treatment center, right? And it's not like I see a lot of people go in there, man, like, I'm in here, like, with, like, a badge of honor, right? Like, I'm voluntary in this place, right? And really, man, it was go there, be homeless, right? Like, that was what I had arrived at. And I I don't know, man, if you guys have ever been in any of those places, man, detoxes, and they ask you all those great questions, man, that I am sure nobody, no real like alcoholic has ever asked, right? When it's like the, well, like, how much a week do you spend on this stuff? And I was like, everything. What do you mean, how much do I spend on everything, man? And like, what is your, what do you like to do? And I was like, whatever you have, really. I mean, I got no, I'm an open-minded kind of guy, you know? And I go into that place, man, and I'm not doing so good, right, is what happens, man. And I start to sober up a little bit, right? I go through this period of getting everything out of my system, and I start feeling better, right? Physically, I start feeling better, and I get, what happened in there too, man, is I got sick again, right? And I had to go to the hospital, and the doctor comes in, man. He's like, you got some form of hepatitis, but we're not sure which one it is, right? And I'm like, dude, I know it's A, B, and C are the ones you can get, but it's probably D, bro. It's probably all the above, the way that my life has been going, and this is where, and I don't think in my life, man, that's where it gets to the point where I am so relieved that I have hepatitis A, right? Like, that is the best news I heard in a long time, man. You just gotta hang in there for a little bit. And I always forget to tell this, man. I don't mean to check my question, what time it is. My poor mother, man, like I said, what I had put her through, right, I had had this experience, man, it just always kind of sticks out to me that I had a friend of mine that I grew up with, man, and his dad was a scoutmaster, right, or whatever, and he got arrested for doing what you probably think he did, right, and I remember when my mom found out, man, she came up to me and she was like, with this look of like really like obviously a lot of concern, she's like, Jeremy, did he do anything to you? And I could see the look of concern, but like behind her eyes, man, I could see this look of like, is that why you're such an idiot? Like, is this what happened to you? And then I told her no, that absolutely nothing happened, and this like look of like relief, but also semi-disappointment in her eyes, man, that like she kept going, are you sure nothing happened to you? I was like, if I was smart, man, I would have milked that thing. I would have broke down in tears. Oh, my God, it's been so long. I needed to tell someone. So I go into that place, man, and I'm going to try to speed it up. And I get put on medications again, man, and all these things that I think are supposed to fix me, right? Because what happens is still going through my life, they're putting me on them. And what I'm getting told is that you can't stop drinking and you can't start getting loaded enough for this stuff to work. And what I can't explain to you, man, is that I don't have time to wait for this stuff to work, man. You're telling me it takes like 2 weeks for this stuff to get in my system. I can't go that long, right? There's no way, man. I feel so terrible when I sober up. There's no way that I can wait that long. And but they try it again, man, and this time I'm removed and I'm not feeling any better, man. I'm not feeling any better. And guys are coming in at this point, right, from AA, right? There's a specific group of guys, the same guys that I hang out with up in Newport Richey now, that start talking about an allergy and an obsession. And more important than that, man, they start telling me how I feel when I'm not getting loaded, right? And they tell me about that feeling of inadequacy and always coming up from behind, right? And nothing ever just feeling like it's enough, right? I had the opportunity, man. I got to, my dad lives in the Keys, man, and I went down there to visit them, and I got a little sister down there, and they have a petting zoo underneath the Key West County Jail, right, where they let inmates down there with the children and like handle the animals. And it's kind of like this Juan Carlos, he's in here for attempted murder, man, but the iguanas love him, so we just kind of let him hang out around here for a while. And I go there, man, and there is this, what happens to me, man, when I sober up, and I can't describe to you at the time, man, and there is this ostrich in there just like losing his mind, right? And it's got everything it needs behind there, man, but this thing cannot sit still. It's snapping at little kids. It is like, it's going off the chain in that place. And I sat there and I must have stared at that guy like the whole time we were there, man. And my dad came over and he's like, "Are you? Looks like this guy's got you mesmerized, man." I was like, "I think this thing is my spirit animal, right?" And that's what happens to me, man. When I sober up, I get removed from this stuff for long enough, man. I become like the South African ostrich underneath the Key West County Jail and the petting zoo. And I get sold on it, man. That's in the short what happens, man. I get sold. When it talks about that I have to concede to my innermost self, that's what it was, man. They convinced me of that, right? I could see, man, by connecting dots, and they kind of did that for me, right? I'm screwed. That's what a guy like me is, man. Without AA, without God, man, without having you guys in my life, right? I'm going to get loaded again. And I'm probably not going to see it coming, man. It's going to look like everyone else's fault, or it's going to look like a good idea, right? That's what the... could never describe, man, about medications and stuff they were putting on, man. It might do something else to me. I'm not really sure. But what you're not going to medicate out of me is that idea that somehow, some way, it's going to be different this time. And that's what I always seem to walk around with, man. It gets bad and I just forget. I don't mean to forget. I just eventually I forget, right? And it feels like it's just not going to be that bad again. And oh, you said 5 minutes, like... 3 minutes ago, didn't you? Did you? Okay. So I get out of that place, man, and I get connected in with these guys, man, and I come out and I feel exactly like I felt coming here again tonight, right? And I start getting dragged around, man, to like detoxes and treatment centers and going back into the one that I was in, right? And there's something about that, man, that seems to light me up more than anything else. And I don't expect it, man. I don't want you, like, this is... none of this stuff was anything like before Alcoholics Anonymous gets introduced to me that like I was just about to do or anything like that, right? It wasn't like humbly ask God to remove my shortcomings. Bro, I was just after lunch, man. I was going to sit down and do that. And I get taken through that, man, and something happens, right? Just like it's talking about. I need something, man. I need some kind of replacement. I need something to light me up the same way that it did, man, when I used to drink and it used to work to get loaded. And life today, man, I'm telling you, it's I get the opportunity to sponsor some guys, man, right? And I haven't killed any of them yet, man. It's going good. This guy couldn't kill him if I tried, man. But you follow me around, you think that's what I was trying to do, I think. And that's a terrible joke, but I'm not trying to kill anybody. They're doing fantastic, man. And I met, this is a tale as old as time, man. I met a girl while I was in that rehab center, right? And we didn't get together, man. Luckily, I had gone through that relationship inventory, and I get told, man, you need to let this girl connect to God for, you know what I mean? Get into AA first, and really, man, not do the same scumbag thing I've been doing to all these girls, man, up until that point in my life. And I say, like, all these girls, man, but realistically, it was, like, two. You know what I mean? And, like, and I look back, man, I'm pretty sure one of them didn't even know that we were dating. And just wondering why I was always upset with her. And we've been together for a couple years now, man, and maybe about 3 weeks ago, man, we had a little boy. Right, and she's got a 3-year-old son, man, that through this program, man, through AA, right, that I get a little kid, man, that calls me dad, that doesn't know me as anything different other than that, right? And I am not the guy that shows up for something like that, right? I am not the guy that does that kind of thing, man. I'm the guy that finds out my, you know, the girl's pregnant, man, and I called my dad back down in the Keys to see if maybe I could come down there and live with them for a while or something. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I'm the guy that doesn't show up for that kind of stuff. And I get that opportunity, man. I get to come home to that little kid, man, and I get to come home to that baby, man. So a 3-year-old kid, a newborn baby, and a 10-year-old dog that I get to come home to, man, and I can walk in and I can see it, man, even though he can't talk, man, in his face. I can see, like, dad's home, you know what I mean? And it melts my heart, man. I love that dog. And kids are takers, man. They just... no, they're great. And I get opportunities, man. Like I said, my mother, man, who I shaved years off her lives, right? I get to sit down with her, man, and I get to let her know that that's something, dude. You know, I don't see it at the time, man, but I know that there is something, and I can tell now, man, is there always something I could have done different? What if I would have done this different? Maybe you wouldn't be the way you are now, right? And I get to sit down with her and let her know, man, it's nothing you did. You know what I mean? You could have You could have spoiled me as much as you possibly wanted to, man. You could have beat the crap out of me when I was a kid. It doesn't matter. I would have turned out the same way. And I get to... We had a celebrant thing the other week, and she was there, man, and I was telling this story. It's fun to see how excited she was that she, like, piped up in the middle of it. Man, I kind of had this, like, Mom, you're embarrassing me in front of my friends kind of deal, but I had went over to her house to sign something I needed to sign, and I didn't have a pen, and I walked into her room, because I'll have to make amends to my mom financially until one of us dies is really what's going to happen. And I had to walk in, just like kind of walked into her room to grab a pen, and I hear like, what are you doing in my room? And I was like, that old familiar kind of like froze me in my tracks, and I was like, I don't think I'm doing anything wrong, but maybe. And normally I'd be going in there to try to steal something from her or whatever, man, and what she was making sure I wasn't doing was like leaving her the money I owe her for amends, right? Because she always tries to push it away from me, and how this thing kind of ends up going full circle for a guy like me. I've been telling her for years, man, you can give it back whenever you want. It's your money, you know? So every birthday, every Christmas, I'm like, here we go, baby. This is it. It's all coming back. I got this kid now. This thing talks about, man, a life beyond my wildest dreams, right? How I can't call what it's going to be. You know what I mean? And if you that's one of those things, man, you'd have told me, man, I'd be able to be a father. I'd be able to have a job that I've been at since I've been sober, right? I'm just not the guy that does that. I'm not the guy that shows up over and over again, man. That's you guys, and I've strayed from it. I don't know how many times, man, and I got these amazing people around me that seem to pull me right back into it. I have strayed away from this, man. I have walked away from a man, and every time I get right back in the middle, AA has never failed me, and God has never failed me. You guys, man, have never let me down with this kind of stuff, and I love you guys for it, and thank you again for having me speak.